My passion is the fight for freedom. My father fought for him World War II defending our country. Today, we are no longer fighting with guns. Instead, we are fighting an ideological battle for control of our country by contributing to causes that support your constitutional rights. I am Patriot Mobile.
That was a shooting gallery up there.
I could hear the tremble in his voice.
She suffered a fairly severe beating, and the video is pretty graphic.
Justice for us seems almost impossible.
It's not fun to watch somebody die, and they knew she was in mortal peril.
They have not asked the hard questions. Why was the Capitol intentionally unsecure that day?
The FBI had information about security concerns before January 6th.
They're out for blood, and they're getting it. They appear to be winning.
Were the actions of the Capitol Police out of line? Were there violations in use of force?
Now I describe it as an inside job.
I'm ready to do whatever God calls me.
There's an old Chinese saying my ancestors learned before the Communist Party took over our country. The family is the essential unit of human society, and that you must have honor and defend your family. But it's not always easy to do.
When the regime gives the order, you have to kill.
My heart was pounding. I felt my body bouncing and twisting on the floor. They put numbers on our shoulders, then separated us into rows of even and odd numbers. I was number 9. My brother, he is still in prison. And my sister, she was sent to a labor camp without a trial. But there's one piece of evidence they haven't been able to destroy yet. I left everything behind. If I can't expose what they did to us, then all of our suffering would be for nothing.
Welcome to Chosen Generation with your host, Pastor Greg Young.
But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should shew forth the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy.
And now, Chosen Generation, where no topic is off limits and everything is filtered through biblical glasses. And now, here's your host, Pastor Greg.
This is Adam Mundall with State Air. We need people on radio willing to speak about the Bible, the Constitution, and putting God back in our nation again. So join me in sponsoring Chosen Generation and Pastor Greg. Call him today at 830-446-3624. That's 830-446-3624. This has blessed my business and it will bless yours. Thank you.
And welcome to the program. Great to have you with me. Let's see. Okay, what suddenly became the issue here? Let me try. Oh, there we go. How about that? Well, wow, folks. I have been off, as most of you probably know, for the last week. And I was anticipating recharging and all that kind of good fun stuff. And instead ended up with my well going dry and my air conditioner going out. So my refreshing week wasn't nearly as refreshing as I had hoped that it would be. But praise God, it's all good. Welcome back. It's good to be back. Good to be back with you. I've got a great program lined up for you today. Bottom of hour number two, Matt Long will be with us. We're going to talk about mask mandates are being pushed once again. How do you respond to those mandates? Reverend Robert Hansen will be with me in the second hour as well. We'll talk about the power of prayer. Coming up at the bottom of this hour, Michael Letts will be with us, and we're going to talk about Harrison Floyd's predicament, what happened there. David Shostokas will be with us tomorrow. As you know, he is representing Reverend Lee, and he said really it was a miracle that allowed them to keep, because they were going to keep the Reverend in prison as well. They weren't going to give bond to anybody. But some miraculous things happened that allowed them to bring him back from Georgia to Illinois. Unfortunately, Harrison Floyd was not so fortunate, and we'll talk about his experience. But joining me now, and we've talked about this some before, and I'm really interested to hear my next guest's thoughts as it relates to this issue. And of course, this has to do with Vladimir Putin. My next guest is an internationally known security and foreign affairs expert. He's a frequent guest on radio, television networks, the author of 10 books. His 2023 book, Divided We Stand. He currently serves as a Pentagon strategist, previously instructed at three Army schools, and was the VP for policy at the Family Research Council. I want to welcome to the program Bob McGinnis. Bob, welcome. Good to have you.
Thanks, Pastor Greg. Glad to be here.
Interesting, this whole situation with Prigozhin. My original thought, you know, when all this took place, it almost seemed as though when he sent him to Belarus, and then you had the missile strikes that took place on the border of Poland and Czechoslovakia, Ukraine. It seemed as though maybe they were setting the stage for Prigozhin to lead some kind of an invasion, maybe even into Poland. And I talked to one of the senior Polish general consuls, and they were concerned about that.
No, with good reason. Keep in mind, back after the Sofia Olympics in 2014, that Putin mounted a hybrid attack into Crimea, where they already had naval facilities, but they wanted to take over that area and then, of course, link that with mainland Russia. And what we've seen of late with Belarus taking on a lot of the Wagner people, and we've seen indicators that some of those have dressed in civilian garb and infiltrated through Poland, Lithuania, and Latvia into the European Union area with the alleged intention of beginning disruptive activities, sort of a counterinsurgency of sort. Mm-hmm. And so this would fit the scenario that we've seen in the past, whether it's in the Republic of Georgia or Crimea or even in Chechnya, and even some of the same tactics that were employed by the Russians in Syria. So I think that's a real possibility. We need to watch the Wagner people. I think with Prigozhin's death, though, it would appear that the GRU, the intelligence apparatus of the Kremlin, is beginning to take over the mercenary groups, Wagner in particular, and kind of use it to orchestrate some behind-the-scenes types of activities that we're hearing more about all the time.
That, you know, it's interesting. I've always held to that the collapse, quote unquote, of the Soviet Union was really kind of a ruse, in a manner of speaking. They always said that the only way that they believed they were going to take us was from our inside, and the only way to do that was to mingle finances. They needed to get our business people investing over there, and we've watched over the last 15 to 20 years as they, you know, they closed that window, they opened it, they sucked everybody in, and then they closed that window. But the KGB became the Russian mafia. We know that. And it seems as though these hardliners that you're talking about have really kind of lingered in the background and been more or less kind of pulling the strings, if you will.
You know, the puppets are out front, but yes, those that are the true ventriloquists are behind the scenes, and they have deep roots in the old KGB. You know, Nikita Khrushchev a number of years ago, back in 56, said, you know, that they would take over the West through really backhanded activities. It would come from within. And so they take over institutions. Now, you know, I would argue that the Chinese have done a better job in the United States of doing that with the rise of the Soviet Union. However, the Russians continue to have many of the same tentacles that they had during the Cold War. You know, I served in Western Germany during the Cold War. I visited the Soviet Union at the time. I've seen some of this very close, and have concluded that, yes, the remnants of the KGB are alive and well, beginning with Vladimir Putin, who, of course, was a lieutenant colonel himself on the other side of the border from where I served during the Cold War. And he's continued the same ways. I would argue that the demise last month of Prigozhin was just another KGB trip, something we've seen in the past where they plant a bomb that goes off at a particular altitude, in this case, 29,000 feet. And of course, the fuselage drops to the ground without the wings. And then, you know, days later, every trace of that, except for the indention in the ground, is gone. So you couldn't test for, you know, powder or, you know, some type of plastic explosive. So I suspect that's what happened. And whatever did happen, it sent a very clear message to, you know, the oligarchs that serve Putin's interests, to his own generals, and to the ambitious political people in that country, that Putin is still in charge, and he will use whatever measures necessary to keep his handle on the power in that country.
Do you think Prigozhin's dead?
Yeah, I think so. You know, if he's not, he's in such a dark place that you're never going to find him. it fits their scenario. You know, keep in mind, weeks before he died, he showed up in blue jeans and so forth up in St. Petersburg at an African conference hosted by Vladimir Putin. And of course, Prigozhin was a common known Russian throughout much of sub-Saharan Africa, where he was trading his services in exchange for access to minerals such as gold and lithium and so forth. And he was at the St. Petersburg conference to tout not only his own credentials, but, you know, to promote, frankly, what Putin wants, and that is more access, more influence in that part of the world. And so, yeah, I think that he was a useful idiot for a while. You know, he conducted what Putin calls a mutiny of sorts back on the 24th of June. But that was called off because he got cold feet. And so he ends up in Lushenko invited him over to Belarus. But I think that was probably a done deal anyway. And they start to assemble their forces there. Mm-hmm. Now, of course, under the tight control of the Kremlin's GRU, doing the nasty work that the Poles and the Lithuanians are accusing them of, and that is infiltrating along with other immigrants into the area and becoming silent cells until they're necessary to call them up for service.
you know, I know that everybody, and I am as well. I mean, we recognize that the threat, and you mentioned it. You know that China has done a better job per se of maintaining that position of threat. But would you suggest that Putin is still very much an active threat to the West?
Well, he has the world's largest inventory of nuclear weapons, and here this past week, he called into service the Sarmat, which is their most sophisticated ICBM with nuclear weapons at the top. And so, yes, he continues to rattle that chain for the purpose of really PR against the West. He's done this since March of a year ago. And Medvedev, who is his front man, the former president, is, you know, probably making the more serious arguments as Putin allows him more rein in that regard. And of course, it's got our attention in the West that we don't want to see that Ukraine, you know, really falls into a nuclear wasteland with tactical nukes now in Belarus and, of course, southwestern Russia. I don't put that totally out of the realm of possibility, but I think that Putin holds on to hope that he can eventually, you know, stabilize the region all the way through Odessa, the port there, and really take captive much of Ukraine in spite of the West continuing support of Zelensky and the like.
Now, some have suggested that Putin's objective is a return to the lands of the Russian Empire, while others suggest that it's a full-on desire to reinstitute the full reach of the Soviet Union. What's your thoughts with regards to those two positions?
Well, he doesn't have the muscle to do the latter. He has tried thus far unsuccessfully to take the underbelly of the former Russian Empire, which I mentioned as Odessa and all the Black Sea coast, all the way down to Hungary. He certainly has forces, 1,500, in Moldova, which is, of course, between Ukraine and Hungary. The fact is that Putin's economy is rather weak, dependent almost totally foreign exchange on energy sales. And those are going more and more to the Chinese that are more than willing to take, you know, discounted petroleum and natural gas, which they are. At the same time, the population's imploding. And Putin has, in spite of his totalitarian ways and because of the mobilization of tens of thousands of unwilling people to go fight his war in Ukraine, he continues to be pretty hegemonic in spite of the fact that he doesn't have the power to push into really the NATO area. And that's why he's using what he can, probably through the Wagner mercenaries under the GRU's direction, to begin to seed some discontent. But I think for the most part, NATO is resilient and is pushing back and is wary of that sort of scenario. So time will tell, but Putin's not, you know, a Khrushchev or a Brezhnev. He's a man that has grandiose ambitions, but he doesn't have the power, economic and military power, to back it up. And he's not about to use the nuclear arsenal in spite of his posturing in that regard.
How serious, then, is the relationship between Putin and Xi?
Well, I've argued since my 2018 book that it's the alliance of evil, that, you know, they scratch one another's back for mutual benefit. Xi, of course, has been the rising power in spite of his economic woes today. You know, his military is the largest in the world. He's building his nuclear forces. His navy is the largest in the world. His ground forces are the largest as well. And they're capturing through intellectual theft much of the technology of fifth generation fighters and other technologies that we've been unfortunately losing to them. And they've been, you know, re-engineering for their own benefit. You know, Putin sells them the energy at a cheap price that they need. They have pipelines that are pumping it in at accelerated rates. Putin, of course, will not double-cross Xi. He understands the relationship at this point is, you know, China's on top and Russia's not. And so, you know, they are mutually consulting one another. You know, in fact, Putin's going to do a visit to Xi next month. Likely, you know, the topics will be energy, Ukraine, undermining the United States in the Western arena, because ultimately what Putin has said time and again, you know, certainly dating back to the 2007 Munich Security Conference, that, you know, he and Xi and the likes of the mullahs in Iran and the weird guy there in North Korea, Kim Jong-un, they intend to redesign the international order, which is really what was put in place at the end of World War II. And that includes IMF, of course, the UN, you know, World Trade Organization, others that are all really favoring much of Western capitalism, Western democracy. Putin and others want to replace that. Now, they've arguably begun that process through the establishment and the joining of BRICS, which includes, of course, Brazil, right, South Africa, and others. Mm-hmm. And, of course, they've aligned themselves with the Saudis, who we dissed over the last 2 years. And a number of other countries are being welcomed into BRICS. So BRICS becomes sort of a counterbalance to the likes of the European Union economically and also NATO militarily. I think you'll see further developments in time in that regard. You know, China already has a major footprint south of the United States, throughout Central and South America, with not only China,
no, even Mexico. Yeah, even in Mexico, Bob. I mean, you've had Chinese forces conducting exercises in Mexico all the way back under the Obama administration.
Now, we know about that stuff. And I would argue that the cartels are really proxies of Beijing. Because if you study the speeches made by Xi over the last 3-4 years, he always goes back to a couple of incidents in the history of the Chinese empire, and that is to the 1850s and 60s, when the West, you know, at that point, Great Britain and France mostly, and there are a few others, you know, really soiled a future relationship by flooding the Chinese with opium and, you know, basically intoxicating, addicting them, and then stealing much of the riches of that country at the time. And so this is payback. Fentanyl is, you know, his way, using the proxies of the cartels to pump in, you know, billions of pills of fentanyl and destroy as many Americans as they possibly can. So,
right,
revenge, interestingly, is a dish best served cold. In this case, fentanyl is Xi's payback for a very dire history that country has suffered.
One of the nations, and we're right now we're coming up on our time, but one of the countries that has recently made some pretty strong statements with regards to China's Belt and Road Initiative is Italy. And the Italian defense minister has said that it was an atrocious decision. It's been atrocious for them. I would suggest that it was a gateway for the Wuhan virus attack. Here's China trying to say, oh, well, here, we want to help you. And on the other hand, they sent a biological weapon into Italy that caused significant devastation to their population. Nonetheless, Italy has said we're pulling out.
Yeah, the Belt and Road Initiative, which of course was started in 2013 by Xi, was designed for a number of reasons. One, to leverage internationally, you know, going toward the objective of, you know, reestablishing an international order that favored totalitarians like himself. It was a financial investment. It provided jobs, because most of those jobs that through the Belt and Road Initiative in 140 nations are done primarily by Chinese nationals that they ship in to do that. They don't create a job market for new projects. And they also invest it. And then, of course, they leverage those investments at a high return rate. And it breaks especially poor countries that just cannot afford to pay back. And so they end up surrendering a great deal of sovereignty. And we've seen that throughout the continent of Africa, certainly in countries like Sri Lanka, which is strategically located. And then, of course, the Solomon Islands and others in the Asia-Pacific arena. And then, of course, throughout Western Europe, they've tried to do things not only in Italy, but Belgium, certainly in Greece. They tried to even buy up Greenland from the Norwegians. So when you look at all of what they're doing across the world, it is trying to take captive politically and economically a large swath of the world. So that would fit a grandiose international global leadership under the likes of the Chinese communists. Now, they faltered in regards to a number of these activities, but they've also captured markets on critical minerals, certainly the rare earth metals.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Dominate, but yeah. Others as well.
Bob, we're out of time here. BobMcGinnis.com, MGINNIS.com, BobMcGinnis.com. You can pick up his books there as well as articles and commentaries and follow him there as well. Thank you for being with us this morning. I've really enjoyed the conversation. We covered a lot of ground today.
Well, thank you, Pastor Greg. Have a great day.
All right, you too. God bless you, sir. We're going to take a break. When we come back, Michael Letts joins us on the other side. We'll get into the conversation about Harrison Floyd and what happened to him, the fourth Trump indictment, and the continued assault on the former president of the United States. And even more information is coming out about material that was actually disappeared, destroyed, removed. How does an attorney general on an active case get away with destroying evidence? Well, you know, when you're doing everything illegal, I guess you get away with that. All right, we'll be back with more Chosen Generation Radio coming up for you right after this brief break. I'm your host, Pastor Greg.
So up next, we have ClanSlate. When you have different things like cancer and different diseases that are autoimmune related, it can really help with inflammation because you're helping clean the body. ClanSlate is a formula that's made from a natural orthosilic acid that basically is put into a formulation that's naturally occurring that uses different processes from polarization to heating to cooling to different types of catalysts which will go in the body and really help communicate to get rid of those things that don't need to be there. People don't understand why there's so many autoimmune disorders, but our environment's toxic. The land, air, and water have changed. We've been exposed to nuclear war, and the issue is if there's a nuclear bomb or there's pollution or there's war in one country, it actually affects everything up to the stratosphere. So we're all connected, and we've really got to clean things out.
You can pick up your clean slate today at cgrforlife.com. That's cgrforlife.com. Pick up your clean slate today.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, CEO of MyPillow. Retailers, shopping channels, and now even banks have tried to cancel myself and MyPillow. Well, during these times, your support has meant everything to us. So my employees and I want to personally thank each and every one of you by passing the savings directly on to you. We're selling the best products ever for the best prices ever. For example, we have my standard size MyPillow, regularly $69.98, now only $19.98 with your promo code. Or you can get custom fit with my premium queen size MyPillows, regularly $79.98, now just $29.98. Or my king size regular $89.98, now just $34.98. So go to MyPillow.com now and use the promo code on your screen, or call the 1-800 number below to receive this exclusive offer. If you do it right now, I'm going to include a free gift with your purchase. Thank you and God bless.
Hi, I'm Tim Sheff, a certified natural health practitioner of over 40 years. I want to introduce you to a product that changed my life. The product's called Vibe, available at cgrwellness.com. I thought I was on a good nutritional program before I discovered Vibe. I was taking the traditional vitamin mineral tablets, wasn't really feeling any different. So I tried Vibe. Vibe is an all-in-one vitamin mineral supplement. It's a liquid multivitamin. It's cold-pressed, whole food sourced, non-radiated, gluten-free, and has no pasteurization. Vibe is like fresh juicing without all the work. It supports four areas of the body: cardiovascular health, immune health, anti-aging, and healthy cell replication. Vibe is available in a 32-ounce bottle for home use or a very handy 1-ounce travel packet for life on the go. The first time I tried Vibe, I had more energy in about 20 minutes. I started thinking clear. Even believe I slept better. Get yours today at cgrwellness.com. Coupon code ChosenGenRadio at checkout and receive $20 off your first order of $50 or more. That's cgrwellness.com. Coupon code ChosenGenRadio. Get yours today.
These statements have not been evaluated by the U.S. Food and Drug Administration. Any of the products do not treat, reduce, cure, or prevent disease.
My passion is the fight for freedom. My father fought for World War II defending our country. Today, we are no longer fighting with guns. Instead, we are fighting an ideological battle for control of our country by contributing to causes that support your constitutional rights. I am Patriot Mobile.
Did you know you can do your tithing and love offering right from your computer? Visit www.chosengenerationradio.com to support Chosen Generation and make a tax-deductible donation. Now, back to Chosen Generation with Pastor Greg.
My apologies, folks. I was on a break last week, so first day back in over a week. And as I mentioned at the top of the half hour, I was expecting to have a restful week, but instead I ended up with a dry well and a broken air conditioner. And when you're having 100 plus degree weather, broken air conditioners are not the best way to go. But we got it fixed. Thanks to State Air, they came right out and got on top of it. It was a part that had shorted out, and actually reminds me, I've got to call my electric company. You know, out in the country, I didn't realize this, Michael, but and by the way, Michael Letts joins us. Michael, good to have you with me.
Good to have you.
Out in the country, so because of how far out we are, they boost the current. So, yes. So 240 normally is between like 232 and 238 is the actual number. But out in the country, at times, they'll boost it as high as 250 to 255.
Right.
And that's because on the longer runs, they you know, in order for, so you don't have that up and down and up and down, it makes the reach. So when my guy first did my test, he said, "You're running about 252.
That burns you out quick on other things.
Yeah, he said, so chances are the component that went on you went because it was getting too much juice. So he said, you probably need to call. And they just put a new condenser on the unit out here. So it's possible when they set in the new condenser that they didn't reset the... You know, the send.
They got a surge protector, don't they?
Yeah. Yeah. So anyway, I have to get that checked. But anyway, first day back after a little bit of a break. So yeah, so there's that. I've got a friend of mine, David Shostokas, he'll actually be on tomorrow. He's representing Reverend Stephen Lee in this Georgia indictment situation. And he's been going around. I haven't listened to the interviews, and David will kill me for that, but I forwarded them. I just disconnected last week. But he said that it was a miracle that kept Reverend Lee from having his bond denied and ending up still in Georgia.
That's amazing.
Yeah. So, I mean, they are, you know, it's insane. I mean, the whole thing. And now we find out, right, over the last couple of days, because I did kind of start, you know, reading again. But apparently there is documentation that the attorney general in Georgia has destroyed that likely would have exonerated the president. And I've got to, you know, I mean, somebody needs to take this judge out and say, hey, you know what? You have a sworn oath, and it's not to be a political assassin.
Well, the other information that they've got, Greg, is that they've uncovered a plot, and it's a nationwide plot, for election fraud on, and it does affect Georgia. They do have the documentation now, and actually the DA, Franny Willis, is a part of it and is getting financial kickbacks because of it. It's happening all across the country. And so the governor knows about it, the Secretary of State, which is why they have been so reluctant to be involved to say that there was election fraud or do anything to help Trump, because they're going to find out that they've been a part of the problem, not part of the solution.
Well, I have to tell you, I had Gregory Stenstrom and Leah Hoops on the program a few weeks back. And they, of course, have, you know, been fighting the case. One of the only cases that was left, by the way, in Pennsylvania.
Right.
And they presented the criminal indictment documentation, and they sent it to Jim Jordan directly, as well as to the House Judiciary. And the chiefs of staff in both of those entities have blocked it from receiving them. So, live on air, Michael, live on air, I have the personal cell phone number of Jim Jordan and my congressman, Chip Roy.
Right.
Live on air, I sent a text to them, introducing them to Greg, and then sent them the interview that we did where they outlined some of the things that are a part of that and name some of the names. Now, since that has happened, interestingly enough, some of what you just said has now become, and it's basically, it's the template that they created,
right,
that is now being used in these other states.
That's correct.
However, they have still never been contacted.
I'll tell you what I'm hearing, Greg, which is very disturbing. I'm hearing that there is a lot of, I want to get talk about it, do a little fluff, make people think I'm doing something to solve the problem. But at the end of the day, the Republicans are blocking it just as much as the Democrats, because, quite frankly, they benefit from some of the financial issues that are going behind the scenes as well. And that concerns me, especially with conservative. I mean, you know, Jim Jordan's one of our ultra conservatives, and I can't imagine him having that mindset. But, Greg, these days, you just don't know who is involved anymore. There's so many people that are corrupt.
Well, you know, it was something that was brought up when I had Loy Benson on my program,
right,
a few months back. And something that was brought up in that conversation was the problem here is that if the elections are deemed to have been illegal,
correct,
then all results are tossed. Meaning, if you're a Republican and you won, it's tossed. If you're a Democrat, correct, and you won, in other words, everybody's results, 435, and that's why Loy Benson's lawsuit names all 435 members of Congress.
Wow.
Because, listen, they all had a duty to investigate. When they were presented with evidence, and then when the investigative body that was doing the investigation submitted to them and said, we need more time. That's right. What was said. And Loy Benson's lawsuit isn't saying there was or there wasn't fraud. What it's saying is you had a duty, knowing that your investigators had told you, yes, there's something here and we need more time to investigate it, and you shut the investigation down. That was a violation of your oath.
That the violation, it just could continue, just like even talking with Pence. I mean, to say that he did not have the ability to refer back to the states for clarification, you know, the disputed electors.
Yep.
I mean, it's not like that was the first time that would have ever been done, Greg.
Right.
That's been done 1850. It's been done over our history. And to suddenly say, oh, I don't know why, but that, as of today, we could no longer do that. makes absolutely no sense unless it's, of course, as we've talked about, you've got one big operation that everybody has a vested interest in, and nobody wants to make sure it gets uncovered.
Well, it becomes a semantics, right? So what he says is, well, I couldn't reverse the election. That's okay. Well, no, Mr. Pence, you're right. You couldn't reverse it. You couldn't change it and say, no, we're going to make it Mr. President Trump second term and not Joe Biden first term. That's right. Correct. You could not do that. But what you could do is, and you said, see, this is, he needs to take ownership, because if you want to talk about what made people upset on that day, it was that the first words out of his mouth was, we will have no debate on the floor.
Exactly.
We will have, wait a minute, we will what? In the United States of America, on the people's floor, the people's representatives, not, listen, okay, so the people don't belong, whatever you want to say, if you think the people, right. Okay, but you told the people's representatives who were trying to get your attention, you're not going to get my attention today because there's going to be no debate on the floor. That was a violation of your oath, a direct violation of your oath. You quelled free speech. You quelled the ability of the people to redress their government. The people's representative is that congressional member. Therefore, by suggesting that they could not enter into debate on the floor, you are telling the people you have no ability to redress your government, you have no free speech rights here on the floor of Congress, and you can't. They were peacefully assembled. The 435 members of Congress were peacefully assembled on the floor in Congress in session and told, shut up. There's no free speech here. There's no addressing this issue.
A total violation of our Constitution.
Absolutely.
That's what's so frustrating. You know?
Absolutely.
Here's what I'm hearing across the country, like carrying further on in our conversation here, is I'm getting more and more people saying, okay, we understand there's a huge issue. The question is, what can you do about it? They've asked me that question literally 5 to 10 times a day. And their point being, Greg, when your top law enforcement agencies, your Department of Justice, your FBI, among others, have proven to be corrupt and have violated their oaths and are guilty of felonious acts. Who enforces the law when your top people won't enforce it or break the law? Which, of course, I have an answer to that. You know, we've talked about, I think, on your show, the military tribunal issue. But it's a question that's being debated now. I mean, what are you hearing, Greg?
Well, I'll tell you, you know, I know people say, they're like, well, you know, how do we correct this? How do we fix this? I think that you have to continue to fight this fight within the system. I think there are still some opportunities that exist within our system to see this made right. I agree with you on that. I also think that you've got citizen grand juries that you can convene.
Correct.
And Larry Klayman is very involved and active in putting together these citizen grand juries, as are several others that I've heard of. So I think that those are possibilities. I think also we should take hope, and again, I refer to my friend David Justokas, who fought a case on behalf of a sheriff in Illinois, and it took 3 years for them to finally get a judge to look at the evidence and determine that he was, in fact, duly elected and that the man who'd been sitting in that office wasn't, and they removed him. And they put this man in place as the sheriff there in a small town in Illinois. So there is hope at the end. There's light at the end of the tunnel. But,
right.
But you know, I think what they count on is that most people don't have the resources to continue to fight the fight.
Yeah, in American society, we don't have a lot of patience either, Greg. You know, it's kind of like if you don't fix it by tomorrow, then they get frustrated and walk away.
Well, they and but that's the same result, you know. I owned a collection agency. We did insurance subrogation, so we went after insurance companies to pay on their policies when our clients' vehicles were damaged, what have you. We did right. both insurance companies as well as car rental, and what we found with a lot of the cases that came through my office is that essentially the insurance company's first action was to deny the claim. And sometimes there would be a second attempt by the client and they would right. deny that. Well, it wasn't that the claim wasn't righteous or that they didn't owe the money. It was that they knew that if they denied a few times, that the people making the claim would ultimately walk away due to lack right. of personnel, lack of time, what have you. And so that was our tact was to say, look, you know what? We will never walk away.
And then it was better for them to pay up the claim that they owed.
Yep. Pay what you owe me or we're going to figure out a way to add penalties to it. And you're going to end up owing more money than if you just pay the claim. I had a situation with American Express years ago, the third party administrator for the American Express car rental program. And they weren't paying my client's claims. So I had 32 collectors. I gave each one of them a claim, and I would have them all call at the same time. We locked up their switchboard.
I love it.
I'd get a call from the head of it, and he'd say, hey, man, you what are you doing? I'd say, look, pay my righteous claims.
Right.
Or I'm going to keep you shut down.
They quickly decided it was more beneficial to pay the claim than it was to be shut down.
We would get checks in bulk. We would get Great checks move. In bulk. Well, look, they're righteous claims. I wasn't being, right. you know, some kind of terrorist or anything. They were righteous claims. They owed the money. They owed my clients the money. They were contracted. But they were being incentivized by American Express to deny claims.
Right. It's all about greed, isn't it, Pastor? Oh.
It's about power, you know, and you can even go all the way back to scripture, right? What was it? Why did they, you know, we know that Jesus died on the cross to forgive us of our sins. We know that that was the ultimate plan. But the people of that time, they didn't know all that. What the Sadducees and Pharisees came to the conclusion was, is we've got to take Jesus out or the Romans are going to come in. And it says in Matthew, they're going to take away our power.
Correct. That's correct. They had delegated to them to kind of, hey, we'll let you run your own people as long as you keep everything in line. And when
and
Jesus
do what we say. And do yeah. what the Romans say. Listen, folks, right. we're running into the same thing today. And in fact, the church is a mirror image of that. Because unfortunately, the church is doing the same thing. The church is laying down and saying, well, we better quell all these little dissenters and these people that are saying things that we don't, you know, that the tyrants don't want said.
Right. Which is unfortunately our key government right now.
No doubt about it. So how do we, I mean, my question to you is you know, how do we help a Harrison Floyd? I mean, Harrison Floyd's experienced the same thing as the J6 guys, right? I mean, these J6, 17 years Joseph Biggs got, 17 years.
You know, you just point, and what I want your listeners to understand is just how critical this situation is, because when you begin to weaponize the judicial system and our law enforcement system, you have ultimate control. You are a full tyranny. Then this is what they do in banana republics. I even perceive that you might be a threat to me, Greg, down the road politically, I will trump something up. Makes no difference whether it's accurate or not. And have you arrested, thrown in jail, realizing that it will cost you, it will bankrupt you mm-hmm. to be able to fight it if you prevail, if you've got enough to be able to carry it to the end. And then here's the sad part about it. Once that happens and I bankrupted you, even if you prevail at the end, I don't suffer any consequences. Kind of like, oh, well, I guess I made a mistake. Let's move on to the next one. There are the people who do these actions are never held accountable.
Right.
And that's where I think the American people have got to, we've got to come to terms with that across this country. I know, you know, in Matthew chapter 7, when it talks about, you know, judge not that you be judged for what you mete out, that will be meted unto you. I question now on an accountability standpoint whether those that break the law knowingly and doing these kind of things should be treated the same way that they impose that upon innocent civilians.
Well, you know, I mean, and another example that we're watching of just absolute evil injustice is what happened to the people in Lahaina.
Yes.
I mean, the more that we get, the more information that we get, and in coming weeks, I'll be getting you more information on that, folks. Scott Adam was here. His pastor is one of the ones that was bringing aid in, and they literally ended up having to put it on boats and bring it into a private beach because they were blocked every other way. But these stories that are coming out about how they blocked families from evacuating, and people are finding charred bodies, men, correct, women, and children in their vehicles, charred, correct, because they were trapped on the road because the police blocked the path and the police wouldn't let the people out. And they wouldn't let anybody in to assist in getting people out.
And now you look at the property that was destroyed. Who's buying it up now? Oh. For what purpose?
Well, and look at this whole thing with Oprah and Rock. What a farce, yeah, that is. What a farce.
Why you see me laughing is they want everybody else to give money. They're worth they're worth plenty. Well, I think that'd be a fair statement. We don't want to contribute anything to begin with. We want you to pay. We'll just make sure it helps get to the right spot. You know.
And it's not. And people are on to it, and that's why they're not getting any money. You know, another entity, and I'm just going to warn you, folks, another entity don't give to is the Red Cross. I was on the floor in the Astrodome, the Houston Astrodome, during Katrina, which was the place that the Red Cross ran. And they had World War II canvas beds for these people. Yes. They treated these people. There was no water, no food, and no assistance. And I found out later by going to an American Psychiatrist Association meeting that the Red Cross held in San Diego that from the top, they thought those people were mental patients, and that's why they treated them so poorly. First of all, if you know they are mental patients, and that's a whole nother conversation we could have about mental health in America, but if you know they're mental patients, why would you put them through more additional mental and emotional and physical anguish? You should do just the opposite. If you know that they are having challenges mentally, that they are under that kind of duress, then you would think that you would elevate the care for them, not say, well, you know what, you're just mental, so we're just going to discard you. You don't count. You don't matter. But that's exactly what they did. And on a flight back from Houston on an airplane, I was sharing this story, and an elderly woman said to me, my brother was flown back during World War II because our parents had an accident and one of our parents died. He was told by the Red Cross, we'll fly you home and fly you back. They flew him home. He was there for the funeral. They flew him back. The next time he was supposed to get paid, he didn't get a paycheck.
Really?
And what he found and what he was told by command is the Red Cross is taking your salary until the debt for your airfare is paid.
I think it points, Greg, just to the corruption of mankind and just the total evil that we're fighting. Now, this really truly is a battle between good and evil. And it's been, as you said, it's been going on since the beginning of time. But I think it's climaxing now. I think people are just beginning to realize just really how corrupt and how destructive evil can be. They don't have any conscience. Greg. They don't have any conscience of the suffering or what they do to mankind, as long as it benefits their agenda and their and themselves. And we're seeing that on all levels of government now, and we have to find a way to counterbalance it.
Well, and I know you're working on that, and you're also working on helping, you know, protect and defend local law enforcement against, you know, against these criminal actions that are taking place. Sure. As well. I just watched the Epic Times documentary about, you know, people leaving California because of the violence that's taking place, because people are having their cars literally hijacked and you know, and not in poor neighborhoods. Not that that is even an excuse, but not in poor neighborhoods. Homeless people who are trapped on the streets, and the drug lords that own those streets that force them into either prostitution or selling drugs in order to be able to put their tent on a street corner.
Right, exactly. And it's what is so amazing is how the governmental entities have just stepped back and just and are just letting it happen and not doing anything to interdict.
Well, there was a gentleman in that documentary who he and his family had owned laundromats for years, and he had one, his sister had one, his dad had one, and you can see on one of their security cameras where a vehicle is stolen out in front. His vehicle gets stolen out in front, and the police officer just stands there and basically watches it, and the cop car pulls up and stops. Because they've been told, don't chase them, don't go right. after them, you got to let them go. And I mean, how can you, you can't live in that kind of lawlessness.
No, you can't. And of course, they have a specific reason behind that. They want to portray law enforcement to the general public that they are so inept and incompetent and unable to maintain law and order, that the only thing that can be done now is to allow the federal government to bring in a federal force, federal law enforcement force. And of course, remember, they've already said what their intent is that they think that violence is caused by guns, not by the people that pull the trigger of the guns, but by guns itself. So the first order of the day for that federal force will be to disarm the American citizens. Yeah. Once we are disarmed to where we have no ability to fight back, then it will basically be, you do what you're told, or you either get out, or we'll bury you somewhere.
Well, and sadly, that's the direction that we're headed in. And you know, they're changing firearms as well, so that now, you know, it's handprint. It's there's an electronic component right. to the weapon, and they're doing that intentionally, so that way they can shut your weapon down.
Correct.
They can disable Correct. Your gun, and so you may be sitting there thinking, "Oh, I'm okay. I've got the newest, fanciest whatever." But what you don't realize is that new fancy whatever actually gives control of your ability to use it, not to you, but to somebody else.
Gives ability to your control, your ability to use it, and its location and exactly Everything. All of its characteristics. I mean. So they'll know exactly what you did, where you're standing at that time, what your position is. I mean, you know, it's technology, well, they say, is a wonderful thing, but it is a very, very dangerous thing as well, Greg.
And not only will they be able to tell you, know where you were, but they'll be able to go in and alter where you were and Correct. Alter the data to suggest that you were somewhere else or in a different position. They can change all of that. Now, predicated on technology, this is what the digital age is about, and that's why we need to be so concerned about it. And I don't know if you've seen it, but they're advertising a new movie called Creator. I'm interested to see a little more about that. But when I was watching the previews for that over the weekend, I was like, "Oh my gosh, this is AI come to life. It's a scary thing." Right. All right.
And that's where they're headed. I mean, yep. you know, we're talking about, here's what's amazing. I was just in a meeting on AI yep. yesterday, and they're talking about getting to the point now where you and I are no longer even needed to have this show.
Right.
We can, you know, have your voice, your image, my image. AI will print out everything that they want us to say, and it will be said, and people will never know the difference, whether yep. I actually said it or not.
InvestUSA.org, InvestUSA.org. Follow Michael there and help support what they're doing. Michael, thanks for being with us again. Great conversation.
Thank you. God bless you. You have a great day. You take care.
Thanks, sir. All right, we're going to take a break. We'll be back. Reverend Robert Hansen is with me on the other side. How powerful is prayer? We'll talk about it coming up.
Yeah.